You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, there is a major ignorance gap in this country, and maybe not where you think it would be. There is financial ignorance, and financial ignorance starts from when you were a little kid in school, and basically you asked your parent for an allowance, and they just gave it to you without explaining where the money came from, that it didn't grow on trees, and that you could one day be in control of your financial future if only you planned. But unfortunately, financial illiteracy is dominant in the United States and arguably the world. And person you're about to hear from, my next guest, he is single-handedly in a battle to promote financial literacy and to the fight against financial illiteracy. Let's put it that way. His name is Vince Shorb. Vince, your association, National Financial Educators Council, you're trying to combat this ignorance gap, aren't you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And exactly correct. I think a lot of the concern and worry and fears in today's market that people are feeling is because they don't have that education, and education isn't always a predictor of financial success, but the added confidence and ability to have some backup plans definitely helps people sleep at night.
Right. And you're regularly, we see you on the media, USA Today, NBC, Fox Business, NerdWallet, Mint. So you're really out there on the top media outlets trying to get your message across. What do you think is the largest obstacle in your path?
Really, I think it's with the school system. We've been teaching the same subjects for 100 years, roughly. And many of those subjects, now that we have computers, aren't as important as they once were back in the day. And we're not teaching financial literacy. I know some states have mandated financial literacy, but it is not enough, and it's not done with enough rigor to really make a difference. So it's, you know, when you're battling politicians, you know, school boards, red tape and all that, it's challenging to get financial literacy into public schools at a level that's going to make a real difference. So that's one of our head battles that we're facing right now. In a side way around that, we are really working with parents to try to encourage them to, hey, teach your kids about money, help them to develop positive habits while they're still in a safe, secure learning environment.
Yeah. And well, a lot of life, a lot of financial success, all about choices. And if you don't get that education early on to make the right choices, what chance do you really have?
You're exactly right. And financial habits do form early. There's a few studies out there. I think the most popular one out of Cambridge that points to a financial habit starting about age 7. Brown University points to work ethic habits forming around age 9. So already at a young age, they've been influenced by billions of dollars of advertiser money targeting them. They've been influenced by these newfound influencers, these unboxing videos where they're opening these toys and things that they received as kids. And to your point earlier, you said, hey, you know, when parents have a big influence too. And if parents are succumbing to their children at that store after they've been had all these influences and are then buying them a gift when they're throwing a fit, well, that's just reinforcing negative behaviors. And that often carries with them into adulthood.
All right. So, you know, and that's such a great point, because when you look, often the situation you're in now is the situation you created for yourself. What do you think is the most important aspect of financial literacy that needs to be taught in schools and isn't?
Really, it comes down to self-sufficiency, right? I think we should graduate people that are self-sufficient, contributing members of society. And, you know, in the younger levels, we can teach them the behaviors, setting up the systems and the good habits, right? But when it gets to high school, we need to prep them for the early choices they'll be facing. like moving out on their own, if they're going to college, how to choose a college based on ROI, everybody needs to have certain accounts open. So making sure that they're prepped for those newfound life events that are coming up for them, so that they avoid that $1.6, $1.7 trillion student loan number and be a part of that, and instead are doing like your son has done, as we talked before the show, and starting investing and saving at an age where it really makes a huge difference.
All right. So when we look at student loan debt, the student loan bubble, we're close to $2 trillion in student loan debt. Something like 60 or 80% of it is for grad school alone. When you talk about that, look, you come from the mortgage industry. That's your background.
It is, yeah.
And when an elderly couple wants to do a reverse mortgage on their home, they got to go through a whole counseling educational process, and it might only be for $100,000. These kids, they could be doing hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and all they have to do is sign on the dotted line.
Just sign, and they can do it before age 18. So that's one of the only loans you can take out at 17, where you don't need any parental approval or anything like that. So a 17-year-old, you're asking a kid to make a life decision when, if I think back when I was 17, there's no real long-term life decision I could have made. I know I share that with many people out there, but they're creating, you know, these situations without any required education. They don't even know, you know, what they're going to be doing, let alone the return on investment from their college education.
So don't you think there should be counseling required for anybody to take out a student loan? Because for one thing, most of you out there may or may not be aware that student loans are non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. They're with you for your whole life. They can be hauling your assets in, whether it's tax refunds, income executions, wage garnishments, bank accounts. They can even go after Social Security in certain cases. No other debt is that possible. Why aren't we counseling these kids on the proper way?
Yeah, that's a great point. I wish I had the answer for you. It seems to make logical sense that we as a nation should protect our children and, you know, support them down a path of getting the information they need to make a decision that's going to be in alignment with their longer term goals. But again, I don't think the policymakers and the people making money off these really have that in mind. And I'm all for the free market and self-regulation of that. But I think it just would be the ethical thing to do, which is to make sure that, hey, somebody that's taking out a loan should know the basics, like in the mortgage industry, right? We had to make sure they knew the terms and payment, everything of that loan. With the student loan industry, it doesn't seem to be that way at all.
Hey, look, we do all sorts of things to protect people from themselves, especially when they're younger, right? What about doing this for these kids? I mean, you wouldn't let a kid at 15, you know, go buy a bottle of Jack Daniels and throw him the keys to the Ferrari, but you're doing the almost the same thing here, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project, with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah, and when we look at the consequences of financial problems, I'm sure many people have been there. I've been there, right? It's the sleepless nights, the worry, the arguments with the spouse, the partner, you're not emotionally 100%. And oftentimes you're worried about just the basic human needs. I think because it is such a severe problem in terms of depth in a person and also breadth, the number of people it impacts across the country, I think it's really one of the leading causes of our day is really to help these people improve proactively so they're not having to dig out from behind that $100, $200 student loan debt at a time that's vital for them to save and invest.
Right. So it just seems like, you know, when you go examine like leading source of divorces and all sorts of family problems, it always comes down to financial problems. If you can never get out of the hole that you've dug for yourself, because let's say you went to medical school and you dropped out halfway through, guess what? You still owe that money and you're not going to be making the big bucks necessarily to be able to pay it off.
Very true. And yeah, I think that's a common, most about 50% of graduates switch their major at least once during their college careers, which costs them time and money. Also, that's a good time when they drop out because like they see the number of subjects that they need to take to get that other degree that they would now want. And I think part of financial literacy and just overall personal finance is really that career planning early on to helping these kids explore, hey, where they want to go, what they want to do. So when they're getting to that college age, they don't have to experiment with these different classes. They have an idea and direction so they can be more focused when they are investing into their education.
And hopefully they can avoid truly useless majors, right? I mean, we've got the 20 most useless degrees here, looking at a site here, EdSmart. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all of them. In fact, I think most of them, they're off. Number one is advertising. And, you know, two of my kids took advertising and communications. They did really well. Computer science, you know, culinary arts. you know, there's a whole list of them here. But culinary arts, I don't see, you probably aren't going to pay that much for that degree. And if you're a decent chef, you could make many times. What would be your rule of thumb when you're trying to figure out how much debt you should take on for a student loan?
Yeah. And first, I'm concerned because advertising was my major. So I'm really concerned now after you pointed that out. But it's been years, so I never really used that aspect. But I would definitely say when you're looking into school, hey, it's going to be helpful to know what you want to do early on. Now, if you don't, you know, find school cheap, right? Community college, there's a million ways to learn now. That's very affordable online education. So we have so many opportunities to learn today. So get the basic classes done cheap. It's the classes you'll probably never use again, but they're required to earn your degree if you feel that path is needed for that profession you want. And then, you know, really take a lot of time to do that career planning, do informational interviews, visit that workplace, see what a day in the life is like. You know, you want to be that lawyer. You're probably not going to be in front of the, you know, like the TV lawyer in front arguing a major case right away. You're going to be in the books reading for 8-12 hours a day. So understand what you're going to be doing on a day-to-day basis and make a decision, right? That's where we always have to, there's a tipping point and you're going to, you know, follow through with that, but always pick a school where you know you can, or at least can estimate that you have a better chance of having an early payback on that student loan debt.
Yeah. So, you got to avoid these useless degrees for certain. I love the idea of, hey, you don't have a lot of money, go to a community college. Actually, it really starts in high school. First thing you do is take as many AP courses as you possibly can, because you will get college credit for them. Then go to a community college, go at summertime, and while you're still in high school, a lot of them are free or extremely low cost. True. And then get as many credits as you can so that when you wind up going to your final college there, the four-year college that you've done 2 years in already, you'll have a minimal financial burden involved. But they never teach kids this, do they?
They don't teach kids this, and it's also highly concerning, especially now with inflation pressure. You know, if we look at college costs over the last 20 years, it's outpaced inflation, obviously, but it's gone up about 8% a year. So if that trend continues, a sixth grader today, if they stay on track, their college costs would be double by the time they graduate, which could be even more concerning, right, than the situation we're at now. And that's not even considering those last year's inflation, right? So who knows what the future for college costs is, but if I'm a parent with a, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grader, I'd be a little concerned in thinking about what I can do to support them and helping them prepare for career planning, understanding the value of a dollar, and thinking about college if it's needed and if they want to go early on.
Hey, so tell us some of your successes you've had since you've gotten involved in trying to bring financial enlightenment to the world.
Yeah, you know, our role is really helping groups scale and build financial wellness programs in their community. So we train, certify financial educators and coaches, and we have trained and certified people in every state, over 60 countries, actually, too, from the education side. So it's you know, I love seeing community programs develop when there's a local anchor where people know they can go to and ask those basic questions. And if we look at the majority of people out there, they don't have access to a financial advisor, a realtor, you know, CPAs. The average person out there is kind of struggling, right? You know, if they're looking for help on debt, they look up, hey, how do I pay off debt, or I need help on this? Well, they might land on a bankruptcy attorney site. They'll say, hey, do bankruptcy, or debt consolidator site, or do debt consolidation. Or so, you know, that unbiased education, I think, is something people value and enjoy. And it's just great hearing getting the letters back from our educators and coaches out there that are getting letters from their clients saying, hey, it's just nice to be able to talk to somebody, especially in these uncertain times where I know you're not trying to sell me anything. And I can get questions answered on just the basic things that are impacting me and my family. And hey, how do I account for this extra $300 a month we're paying due to inflation, and how do I prep for their college? So I think just hearing the number of stories we're getting from those we're empowering with this resource is a great thing.
All right. Well, there's definitely not enough financial literacy out there. Have you ever spoken with Robert Kiyosaki? He's been a huge proponent of financial literacy and education for our youth.
Not personally, but I'm a fan. I was the cash flow quadrant was something I was reading early on in life. Today educators and those people come in so many different roles. You're a financial educator, you know, other hosts are financial educators, authors. So I think, you know, what the independent financial education industry is doing is great. Now we have, you know, if people are seeking information, they have places they can turn to. Hey, you know, if I like your personality, that's going to be great. You're going to be a great mentor and model for me, right? So I think now people have a lot of access to this information, and we always encourage people to find those people that are. And we also encourage people to advocate for that, especially if you have kids, you know, making sure you're teaching them, making sure, hey, you're talking to the school. Hey, can you teach them something that will truly benefit them in the real world? So really trying to convert these parents into advocates as well is something we're always trying to do.
All right. Hey, people want to find out more about your organization, Vince, and they want to connect with you. How do you do that?
Yeah, thanks, Gary. They go to my LinkedIn, Vince Shorb, Shorb, or always go to our website at financialeducatorscouncil.org. And definitely appreciate you having me. Thank you for giving me this platform, and love your show.
All right. Appreciate your coming on as well. Appreciate what you do and how you're trying to help people. And if we can be of any help, please just give us a ring and we'll be there for you. If you got any questions for Vince, you can also send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. And don't forget, go to the site Financial Survival Network. We're all about education. Just go there, sign up for your free newsletter, get a lot of useful info. Vince, good luck in your mission, and we wish you the best.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.